you know you can do your tithing and love offering right from your computer? Visit www.chosengenerationradio.com to support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation. Now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice in where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you so much for being here. Well, I am very, very honored and pleased to have my next guest with me. He is the former leader of the Freedom Caucus. He is a former congressman, and he is the former chief of staff for the 45th president of the United States, Donald John Trump. I want to welcome Mark Meadows to the program. Mark, welcome. It is truly an honor and a pleasure to have you back, sir.
Greg, great to be back with you. Obviously, it's so good when you take the message right to the American people, and it's really gratifying to know that the truth is getting out there. So thank you. God bless you. And it's great to join you.
Well, I appreciate you being here. You made a comment the other day about January 6th. And, you know, I'm just going to make a statement, and then I want to get into some conversation with you about your 10 months and your tenure there with the president. But evidence keeps showing that the events of January 6th are not what mainstream media and the Democrats tried to sell the nation. Tom Fitton, in an Epoch Times story, has now revealed that he has evidence that Ashley Babbitt was shot and it was an unjustifiable shooting. Revolver's done a deep dive. Members of Congress have reported on conditions of those being held without charges in D.C. being absolutely despicable. Yesterday, Steve Bannon was arrested. And Mark, in short, I just real quickly, and I know that you have some limits on what you can say, but what are your thoughts with regards to this continued activity by the Democrats to try to push the January 6th narrative and to label all of us who support the 45th president, who are Christians, who are Bible-believing, God-fearing Americans, who love our country, love our Constitution, and somehow we're the enemy?
Well, it's being portrayed that way. I can tell you that serving President Donald Trump as his chief of staff was a great honor, and certainly it's an honor that continues to be something that I love to talk about. But when you look at the narrative being put forth, it's as if Donald Trump was actively engaging in the breach of security on January 6th, and that's just not the case. I've said that publicly, that I'm not aware of anybody in the West Wing that had any advanced knowledge of what actually transpired, that it was going to transpire. But yet, we continue to see that this whole effort by the January 6th Commission really is not one that's based with legislative intent. You know, Congress is supposed to look at things from a legislative authority, and yet what they're doing is putting forth a lot of this, either trying to do an investigation that would rightly belong to the Department of Justice, or advance a political narrative that candidly is not going to make any legislative difference. And so that's the trouble that we see with it, without getting into too many specifics.
Sure.
That I'm not at liberty to talk about.
Of course.
But I can tell you that America is being heard, and
yes,
you know, the great thing is your faith and my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is one that is sincere, and I just call out to him for wisdom and certainly for protection, and hopefully that is something that our great founding fathers not only embraced but enshrined for us to be able to practice in a real way.
Well, Benjamin Franklin said to them, you know, we have been delivered from the most powerful nation in the world, and it was daily prayers that gave us that victory. How is it, gentlemen, that we gather here and we forget the divine providence that gave us that victory, and how do we expect to be able to form a nation if we are not dependent upon him. I know you and I talked about this briefly before. I talked with Dr. Peter Navarro about this, and Paula White as well, you know, and David Brody. President Trump, in January of 2017, just after being sworn in, did an interview with David Brody wherein he said, America is dependent on its relationship with God, and as its president, I have come to truly embrace that and understand that I can't do this job without him. So your words
without
that you just
doubt.
Spoke, yeah, could not be truer. I guess let's talk a little bit about that. How important was prayer and faith in the White House during the president's tenure there?
Well, certainly it's not only important, but it's something that as a nation we need to embrace. President Trump was very keenly aware of so many people that came out to vote for him, vote for protection of religious liberties, vote for a president who ultimately Donald Trump was probably the most pro-life president we've ever had in the history of our country, and that's saying something.
Sure.
And so it's a critical component of that, but it's not to be lost either in the fact that there were a lot of people that were not only praying for the 45th president of our great nation, mm-hmm. but for the judges that he was going to nominate,
sure.
for the positions he was willing to take. And he was willing to take real strong issues for life and for Israel and a number of things that are important to us as believers at great political peril. I mean, in fact, many of his advisors were saying, you shouldn't be talking about those things or shouldn't be taking as strong of a stand. And yet he knew that it was what America was founded on, and
yeah.
quite frankly, that they needed an advocate, and they found it in Donald J. Trump.
There was, in the Rose Garden, a very special ceremony where he brought forward those individuals that he had, changed their sentences, individuals that he had looked at what their sentences were and pardoned them and things of that nature. And then he brought some individuals forward that were involved in a mentoring program to help individuals coming out of prison. And he made some statements about, you know, faith and so on. And those that were with him made statements too, and was involved in some very powerful prayers that took place in that Rose Garden. That was quite a historic moment in our modern day view of policy, politics, and presidential tenures.
Well, it was done in such a way that was really deep and abiding. You know, you mentioned Paula White. Obviously, the president relied very heavily on Paula White in terms of not just outreach to the evangelical community, but really in terms of that relationship, that spiritual relationship that he was able to have with, you know, she had essentially unfettered access to the president of the United States. And so, but it was more important than that. You mentioned the Rose Garden. The president took very keenly and personally and didn't delegate both pardons and the ability to have a second chance. And we see that certainly in spiritual realm, but he was looking at it in terms of a second chance. And he would make a phone call oftentimes to these people and say, listen, I'm commuting your sentence. I'm giving you a pardon. You know, you're cleaner now than you've ever been. And boy, what a great story, because he was willing to do that. And sometimes for individuals that if you just looked at the merits of the argument and say, well, perhaps you shouldn't go there. But that's what the redemptive power is all about. That's what forgiveness is all about. And he was able to weigh in on that. And you're right. Very powerful moment.
I want to shift gears for just a minute, and we'll talk more about it. We're going to take a break in about a minute. But then when we come back, we'll talk even more about it. But, you know, he identified early on, you came in at a point when America was at a very high place. We were just absolutely doing fantastic in every sector. Unemployment was falling away, whether you were African or Hispanic or Asian or white, or it didn't matter. Everybody's unemployment was dropping. The economy was rising. America was taking back its position. We had moved, embassy in Israel to Jerusalem, all these positive things. And then not long after you came in, suddenly we got hit with the Wuhan virus. And President Trump was not afraid to call it what it was, the China virus, the CCP virus. And now everything that he said about that in the early days is coming out to be true. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I cover that in the book, The Chief's Chief, where he's willing to actually go in and call it what it is and take China to task. And that's in spite of the fact that he had actually negotiated a trade deal with China. But he was willing to say that, listen, they are covering this up. They're our enemy. We need to hold them accountable. And quite frankly, we're not seeing the same thing in the West Wing right now. He was willing to tackle it in a big way. And I look forward to telling you a little bit more about that after
the
break.
You bet. We're going to do that. We're going to come back. We're going to talk more about that. We're also going to talk a bit about what we've come to find out about Anthony Fauci and get Mark's thoughts with regards to that as well. Much more to come here on Chosen Generation Radio. Our guest is Mark Meadows. He's author, former chief of staff. It's Chief's Chief is the name of the book, and I really encourage you to get this book. It is it's just going to give you such an insight. Here's an account of it. In this frank, candid account of his 10 months in the White House, Mark Meadows, simply as the chief around the West Wing, tells the thrilling story of how he and a close team of loyal advisors helped President Trump navigate one of the worst years in American history. Back with more Chosen Generation Radio right after this.
This is Adam Mundall with State Air, and we are sponsors of Chosen Generation and Pastor Greg. Sponsoring this program has been a real blessing to our business, and I want to encourage you to join me in sponsoring Chosen Generation and Pastor Greg. Call him today at 830-446-3624. Once again, that's 830-446-3624. I know your business will be blessed as ours is, and I challenge you to this blessing. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pastor Greg, host of the Chosen Generation Radio Show, reminding you that we have a two-hour program Monday through Friday with great interviews on topics that impact you. Our goal is to return our country to a biblically based constitutional republic as envisioned by our founding fathers and what made our nation the greatest in the world for over 150 years. You are a part of that vision. So please join us at ChosenGenerationRadio.com, ChosenGenerationRadio.com, and sign up for our emails today.
Do you find yourself turning on the news and feeling hopeless? Open borders, spending gone crazy, the prospect of more mandates, lockdowns, inflation, and the list goes on? There's something you can do. Buy from companies that believe what you and I believe. We need to stick together now more than ever. And there's been one company willing to stand with you since 2012, Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They offer nationwide coverage using the same towers as all the major carriers. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget and discounts for veteran and first responder heroes and multi-line accounts. They are 100% U.S.-based, providing exceptional customer service. Most importantly, Patriot Mobile shares our values and supports organizations fighting for religious freedom, constitutional rights, sanctity of life, first responders, and veterans. Use the code CHOSEN for free activation. Call 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT. Call today. Use the code CHOSEN, patriotmobile.com/chosen. Are you getting up in the morning feeling like you and your bed had a bad night, still tired? Stop! It doesn't have to be that way. That's why Mike Lindell started MyPillow, and after his success helping people sleep better with the pillow, Mike decided to go all in. He found Giza cotton for the best sheets and created the ultimate mattress topper. And since stores won't carry his product, he's passing that savings on to you. Use the code PASTORGREG for incredible discounts
and help feed starving children. Call today.
800-662-9236. 800-662-9236.
Nowhere else are you going to be able to sleep well and know that you have fed starving kids. Use the code Pastor Greg. Call MyPillow today.
800-662-9236. 800-662-9236.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Now is a critical time to be vigilant in the defense of our freedom. There's no better way to do so than by joining the Association of Mature American Citizens, AMAC. AMAC is one of the fastest growing conservative organizations in America. Well over 2 million people have joined and now carry the AMAC membership card. AMAC was built by regular folks who feel the same way you do. You're not alone. AMAC believes in and stands up for the values that made America so great. We're fighting the good fight against reckless government spending and the ever-expanding scope of federal government. We believe in the sanctity of our Constitution. So if you're 50 or over and hold to traditional American values, you no longer have to feel alone. Call the Association for Mature American Citizens, AMAC, and get great discounts and support your values. Call today, 855-696-7930, 855-696-7930. Use the code Pastor Greg, get your first year absolutely free.
Look, I am for marriage between a man and a woman. I am for life from conception. I am for following the Bible, and I believe that our founders started this nation on biblical principles. I am in support of our military and believe that America should play a role in world security. I believe our Constitution was intended for a moral people and that the Bible contains the only true moral code. I believe we are all born sinners and that God in His grace and mercy sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for our sins, and that if we will confess our sins, He is just and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe salvation is not just accomplished in a little prayer, but that it is found in how that transformation is lived out. Jesus is to be the Lord of our lives, and we should follow biblical precepts. This is not legalism or works, but a life lived out in love and honor towards the one who died for my sins. Faith without works is dead and is no faith at all. I believe that we will fall and that we need to have a repentant heart, and that God will ultimately bring us into perfect action through Jesus Christ, spirit man perfected and soulish man in progress. I believe that we are not to live in guilt and shame when we fall, but we repent and get up and move closer to Jesus. I believe that if our nation will repent and turn from wickedness, that God will heal our land. I believe that as a Christian, I must occupy till He comes, and that to call evil wicked and to warn about those evil acts is a part of the mandate of Christianity. That to love also means to be willing to take the risk necessary to confront a friend with the truth in hopes that their heart will be turned because their life matters, even if it means in that moment they will possibly hate me. It means that I must risk scorn to stand for truth, and that I can never sit silently by while evil attempts to conquer the world. God is my everything, and Jesus is the love of my life. That does not make me weak, but strong, not silent, but bold, and not fearful, but courageous. Therefore, if you're my friend, while we may not fully agree, know that I share what I share because I care. If you strongly disagree with these beliefs, they are not debatable for me, and you can, if you choose, unfriend me. I do not say this in anger, but in love. I wish for you eyes to see and ears to hear that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, and that God, not man, gets to decide what is truth, life, and the way. God bless you.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits, everything filtered through biblical glasses. My special guest, Mark Meadows, author and former chief of staff for the 45th president of the United States, Donald John Trump. Mark, we were beginning to talk as we were going into that break about the president's response to this Wuhan virus. And then I wanted also to get your thoughts with regards to so many of the revelations that have come out about Anthony Fauci and some of the things things that, you know, he said that have been discovered were certainly not accurate, if not just straight not true. Share with me what you were beginning to talk about as we're going into the break, if you would, please.
Yeah, I think probably the biggest thing for most people is Dr. Fauci became a household name because of the China virus. And so he came in early on, actually was there with Dr. Birx before I even came in as chief of staff. And I cover this some in the Chief's Chief, where you look at the positions of Dr. Fauci and the positions he took, and they were not consistent. And you know, he wants to say, well, people are not paying attention to the science. They're not looking at the science. And there's, you know, one particular thing that I remember with Dr. Fauci that has not been talked about is early on, and this would have been, you know, in the first 60 days or so, he was writing a report. Now, a report that candidly that the task force had not asked him to do, that President Trump had not asked him to do, but he was writing this report generally to be negative about hydroxychloroquine. And so I had this long, dissertation that he had there, opened it up, started going through it and fact checking it. You know, and I said, you know, I said, Tony, you can't make some of these claims because they're inconsistent with the message that we have. For example, he was relying a whole lot on data that was coming from China when it was negative about hydroxychloroquine.
Sure.
But relying on that same data when it was positive, he was trying to spin it one way when it supported his narrative as credible. Mm-hmm. And then when it was against his narrative, he was spinning it as not credible. I said it's either credible or not. But here's the interesting thing. He talked early on how COVID had affected over 200 countries. And he had this, and I said, Doc, I said, you know, this is not accurate. He says, well, no, it's been peer reviewed. I said, well, it's not been peer reviewed because it's not accurate. And he said, well, point to me something that's not accurate. So I opened it up, and I said, you said that COVID is now in over 200 countries? He says, that's correct. I said, well, one, we don't have any way of knowing that. But two, there's only 194 countries. So how could it be actually, actually out there in 200 countries? And so he took the point, but that's a little area that,
right,
you know, I cover in the book where it's just these inconsistencies that are starting to come out, whether it's the origins of the COVID, gain of function, mm-hmm, actually happening,
yes,
in a lab or not.
Yes.
We start to see the inconsistencies each and every day, and Americans have had enough of it.
That opens up kind of a little bit about, you know, the deep state issue. I had Bart Marquez on last Monday, and we got into talking about some of these indictments that the Durham investigation is beginning to bring forward. The Dushenko indictment, the Sussman indictment, the separation of Mark Elias from Perkins Coie and what that might mean. Can you share anything from your perspective with regards to that? Because obviously that whole Russia thing was a cloud that hung over the president relative to trying to hinder him throughout his entire presidency.
Well, without a doubt. And some of the people that are now intimately involved in the January 6th commission, they were out each and every week espousing what they knew, and I want to emphasize this, what they knew was not the truth. And so to hear some of them now say, well, I had no way of knowing that this was actually coming from Democrat operatives. Yes, they did, because I can tell you, it is Jim Jordan, Mark Meadows, and Devin Nunes working in different ways when we were members of Congress, mm-hmm, that kept exposing this. But here's what we will see more and more of. It is indeed a deep state, but it was really a Democrat op research kind of strategy that is even, it included people within the government, But the genesis of it was really more from, in my opinion, the Clinton campaign and other names that I think will continue to come out. Sadly, a lot of the people within the government, I don't believe will ever be held accountable, but it will be exposed more and more. And there was and there is a deep state counter pushback that was every single day pushing back on Donald Trump because he was willing to give the power back to the American people where it belonged. And they wanted it kept in the executive branch or at Foggy Bottom in the State Department or the Department of Defense, wherever they wanted to keep that power.
Well, and I do have hope. I have a friend of mine who was involved actually in putting together an investigation that I know that you had some role in helping to commission that has a lot of that truth. And the fact of the matter that's going to come out is that the Department of Justice, certain members of Congress and so forth were handed this report with all the irrefutable evidence that was necessary to create the indictments, and they haven't done that. And it's going to come out that they knew because, as you said, they knew because you were a part of commissioning the report that was given to them that shows all the evidence that these people should be indicted and many of them criminally charged. And it's interesting. I'm hopeful.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. And I'm hopeful.
Well, and I am too. I am too, Greg. Here's the thing is the truth always prevails. And we know that. And even in Washington, D.C., where a lot of this, what they were accusing Donald Trump of, was actually what they were doing themselves. And the sad part about it is there was more Russia collusion between Hillary Clinton's campaign and Russians than there ever was between Donald Trump and Russia. And yet we had this fake dossier that was weaponized, and I believe that 100% of its origin came from Democrats who took rumors and tried to make it fact and actually get the FBI and DOJ to act on it.
No, when it comes out that the guys are sitting around the bar, you know, having beers and adding to the narrative of the dossier, I mean, that should outrage every American, because if it can happen to one American, it can happen to every American. And, you know, that,
indeed. Yep, indeed.
Yep. And that rolls us back to January 6th. Folks, get the book. Chief's Chief is the name of the book. Chief's Chief by Mark Meadows. Folks, it is a book you really need to read, and I encourage you to get it. We'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up right after this brief break. Hour number two, straight ahead. Don't miss a minute of it. And get that book again, The Chief's Chief by Mark Meadows, back right after this break.
If cancel culture and censorship continue at their current pace, there will be nothing left of the truth. The Epoch Times was founded to keep truth alive. We ask the questions we think you'd ask. We check facts without regard to any political agenda. No one tells us what to cover or how to cover it. We have a special trial subscription offer right now. 1 month of the Epoch Times and total access to our amazing online content for just $1. You'll find it at trustednewspaper.com. 1 month, $1. trustednewspaper.com.